Good morning. Welcome to the Gathering Place podcast. I am Pastor Todd. This week, Pastor Byron is preaching a message to edify the church. I hope you are edified as well. And now, Pastor Byron.
I was looking forward to giving this message, because I know that God is going to really move in all of your lives this morning. Actually, in preparation, I was wrecked. So as we leaning in the book of Acts, some really powerful events happened in chapter 8 and 9, which really launched a lot of activity. It launched Paul, that he spoke about often for the whole rest of the book. So Father God, we thank you, Lord. Your Holy Spirit is here. Father God, I yield to your Holy Spirit, Lord, as we present the word of truth from the scriptures. Father God, that you would pour out an anointing here, Father God, and a refreshing to all of our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. A little different, you know. Hopefully all of us know enough scripture to fill in some of the blanks, because we're going to be looking fully at chapter 8 and 9, all right? And chapter 8 starts out, and Saul approved their killing him. I would call that opposition. I would call that agreement with opposition. And verse 3, and Saul began to destroy the church. That's taking a vision and activating it. And Cal, you can put up all the verses as we got them, but we're only going to focus on a few. But I would call that core to persecution. Someone bent on destroying the church. You and I are the church. And we could encounter people that want to destroy us. Starting with verse 4, those who had been scattered preached the word wherever they went. The response to this persecution was get out of town. Get out of town and go. But they were scattered, and they left to all different regions around Jerusalem, but they went unashamedly declaring the word of God. It says, and they were scattered, they preached the word wherever they went. I'm so glad to be part of a church. We're at restaurants and neighbors and everything else, and we're declaring God's grace and his love to neighbors, servers, whatever. So that's core to our church, that this we don't just come here to spend some time here, but we leave this place sort of scattering to our houses and the friendships that we know, and not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. In that scattering, starting in verse 9, a person called Simon is introduced to us. And it says, Simon practiced sorcery in the city and amazed the people in Samaria. You know what? And the fact that the truth of the matter, we can be pulled into things that are not God, and we need to be careful about that. And even the people, as they heard and saw what Simon was doing, they said, this man is mighty, rightly called the great power of God. You know, what might seem the great power of God may not be the great power of God. And it goes on to say that when the disciples came in, or when Philip came into that environment, there was another persuasion. People were drawn to Jesus and the gospel of Jesus Christ. And in that environment, what was going on, you know, Simon had his place, Philip had his place. That says in verse 13, Simon himself believed and was baptized. We all know the journey. You know, it's from the moment we came to Jesus Christ, it's shedding off of different things over time. And God starts blessing us. But then Simon saw something. He saw something. And he saw Peter and John, and when they arrived, they prayed for the new believers that they might receive the Holy Spirit. This is very careful, because this is who we are. Who we are. When you gave your life to Jesus Christ, Holy Spirit took residence. And yet they're saying the believers, then Peter and John were praying that they would receive the power of the Holy Spirit, right? It seemed like, and they're saying that they might receive that power. Because the Holy Spirit had not yet come to any of them and had simply been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then Peter and John placed their hands on them and they received the Holy Spirit. I would encourage you, if you never had hands laid on you, you know, this week at work, I was out in the shop in the factory, and Ricardo, he has come such a long way, and we were talking with one another, and he said, you know, I don't even use bad language anymore. Something is really happening in my life, and I just can't figure it out. And the Holy Spirit says, go to his place in the shop. Amazing things happen at Ada Metal on the shop floor. So I said, Ricardo, I've got instructions to lay hands on you that you would receive the power of the Holy Spirit. And his response was, go to it, Byron, go to it. And I prayed for him that he would receive the power. And I can't wait to see him this week. I said, Ricardo, what you have now, things are going to change for the good. He said, yes, I want it. So then in that same chapter, Simon saw something. He saw something miraculously happen as the disciples laid hands on the believers to receive power. He wanted it. Give me this ability so that anyone whom I lay hands on may receive the Holy Spirit, and I'll pay you for it. That's not the way God operates. We don't give to get. And where we can, you know, and it's not just money. We don't give service to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords just to get something from him. We do it out of a heart of the love of God in our hearts. Then the apostle said something very interesting to Simon. I see that you are full of bitterness and captive to sin. You know, bitterness. That could be anger about what you're not seeing in your own life. Why is it not happening to me? which puts a foothold for the enemy to go after you. The word came at 8:30, 9:30. I had the word. What are the whys in your life? Because that's keeping you from greater relationship. Why isn't he doing this? Why hasn't he done that? Why hasn't he healed that person? Why? And all those whys will take our focus off of what he says. Because what he says is what counts. Simon responded to that. He responded to that. And he said, pray to the Lord for me so that nothing you have said would happen to me. That's a valid prayer. Recognizing where I'm at. Recognizing my doubts and frustrations. And not letting be captive by that. And saying, God, help me. Help me. Help me to come to a higher and greater place in you. Then verse 29, the Spirit told Philip, go to a chariot and stay near to it. That got me so, you know what? That is so much what God gave me when I got born again. And as I was hopping in my car to drive from Franklin, Pennsylvania back to Chicago, and the guy that led me to Jesus, and he said, your life is marked, brother. From now on, take orders from headquarters. You know, this is what he meant over my life. Take orders for headquarters. Go. There's a chariot over there. Go. Go and walk beside it. And we know the story, and I don't want to go into the whole story. It was an Ethiopian, and he was reading Isaiah, and Philip then opened up all those scriptures to him and said, it's all talking about Jesus. It's all talking about Jesus. And this Ethiopian was so impressed that he said, here's a pool of water. What would keep me from being baptized? Nothing, brother. Get him in there, baptize him in the name of the Father and Son and the Holy Spirit. Philip immediately was translated. Whatever that means, it sounds like he disappeared from there and showed up somewhere else. A miracle. Now, the Ethiopian wasn't trying to figure out why and what happened and wow, he disappeared. What it says about him, he went on his way rejoicing. Because he encountered Jesus Christ. He encountered Jesus Christ. So the effect of him opening up the scriptures to him, and the effect of him being baptized, and the effect of him just disappearing from his sight, didn't become wise. It became rejoicing. Rejoicing in the Lord. And now the scripture goes, good old Saul comes back up again. Meanwhile, Saul. All this stuff is happening. Meanwhile, Saul. And we know the story. He got orders to persecute the Christians in Damascus. And he was riding on his horse. And already, we already heard, he was all ready to destroy the church. He was taking orders, and he was of the enemy, and he was on his way to do what he could do to shut down the gospel of Jesus Christ. He saw a great light, and he heard a voice. Remember, we can encounter people that are so far away from Jesus, but no barrier for the Holy Spirit. Take courage. We don't come with mere words, the scripture says, but with power. Power coming out of our voices. that will even affect the worst people we could ever meet. Well, he was blinded. He couldn't see. And hand by hand, come on, go over to town. Parked himself in a little hut, sat there, probably thinking, what just happened? What just happened? I just encountered Jesus. He's the one I was persecuting. Blinded, he was saying, what is going on? My mind and my spirit is being transformed and changed, but blind. But he could see something in his blindness. He could see something in his blindness. He saw a man called Ananias come and lay hands on him to receive his sight. So he was waiting on that. Blinded, but could see.